Star Walker Studios presents Game Master's Journey, a podcast all about tabletop role-playing games from the perspective of the captain's chair. One of the most rewarding parts of being a Game Master is creating your own world. Today, I begin creating my own world for D&D, and I take you along for the ride. We start off with some big picture ideas for the world. So join me on the journey. Together, we can become Game Masters truly worthy of the title. Hello, listener and fellow GM and or player. Welcome to episode 28 of Game Master's Journey. I'm your host, Lex Starwalker. I've got a great show for you today. I am doing my first world building episode. I'm super excited to do this. So as I've been mentioning periodically thus far in the show, I've been wanting to do a series of episodes about world building. And I think this will be a lot of fun, and this is something that a lot of GMs end up doing at some point in their GMing career. Some GMs end up building lots of worlds, or you may just build just one. Now, obviously, you can build a world for pretty much any game that you play, and there's a wide variety of games out there of all kinds of different genres. And it would be impossible for me to use an example that would apply to everything, and it would be impossible for me to build worlds for every game that's out there. So the only real way I can do it is just build the world that I want to build and kind of take you along for the ride, and hopefully you can learn something from it. So I'm going to be building a world for D&D. I'll get a little bit into why in a minute, but I just hope that this will be helpful for you, even if you don't play D&D. Now, if you play another fantasy game, like, say, 13th Age, then, you know, this is going to be super relevant because it's another fantasy game, right? So a lot of world-building stuff doesn't really have anything to do with mechanics or the system of the game that you're playing. So if you're playing some other fantasy game, then it will be really easy to apply this to your game. However, even if you're playing a game of a totally different genre, like horror or a modern day game or science fiction or something like that, I think that the basics of world building are the same, right? And it's even the same across disciplines. So I've done a lot of studying as a writer about world building, and I haven't really noticed any difference between world building as a writer and world building as a game master. Now, once you get into designing an adventure or a campaign, then obviously that's a lot different as a game master than writing a novel would be, because you don't know what the players are going to do. But as far as world building, it's the same. You're creating a world, you're figuring out how things work, and just like in writing a book, a lot of the work you do in world building, your players or the reader will probably never see or should never see. You don't want to info dump and fill their heads with a bunch of crap they don't care about, but it helps you as a storyteller to have this very rich tapestry of things that are going on in the background, things that have happened in the past throughout history, to inform the things that are going on around the players that do matter, that they do care about. So just a small bit of context for this world building that I'm doing, and kind of why I'm even doing it, is I've been running D&D since the very beginning of my role-playing days, which if you've listened to the first few episodes of this podcast, then you know all about that. I started out in the second edition days. First edition was still around when I started out. There's actually a lot of my friends were playing first edition, and my first experiences playing were with first edition, but I never ran first edition. I never had any of the first edition books myself. When I started buying RPG books, second edition, what was on the newsstand or the newsstands, the bookshelves. And so that's where I started as far as GMing. And back then, I started out on Kryn. I did a lot of Dragonlance stuff in the very beginning. And then I think it was because I started reading the R.A. Salvatore books, the Dark Elf books, that I decided to start running in Forgotten Realms. And pretty much from then on in D&D, I ran into Forgotten Realms. Now, I talked about the Forgotten Realms quite a bit in a previous episode of this show when I talked about kitchen sink settings, and is a kitchen sink setting a, you know, is that a bug or a feature, having a setting be a kitchen sink? I came pretty strongly on the side of I think it's a bug. I don't think kitchen sink is a good thing. I don't think that's what you want in your world that you make for yourself. I definitely understand why publishers make them. I think it can be argued whether they're doing what the publishers think or hope that they will do. I've since read an excellent article in the Kobold Press book on world building about kitchen sink settings that talked about this stuff that was really cool. And I wish I would have read that before I did the episode, because I learned a lot from it. I actually want to do another episode just about the Forgotten Realms, because I had quite a few people contact me who were either defending kitchen sink settings in general and thinking that they weren't as bad as I painted them to be, or who were defending the Forgotten Realms specifically, whether arguing that it wasn't... Actually, I don't think anybody argued that it wasn't a kitchen sink setting, but they just thought that that was okay. And one point that one or two people made is that a lot of the things that I was complaining about with the realms were actually kind of artifacts of 2nd, 3rd, and 4th edition, which I have since learned is absolutely true. And I did not realize that. And something I want to talk about when I talk about the realms again is kind of what I've learned since then about the history of the realms and how that's actually the case. A lot of the things I don't like about the Forgotten Realms are things that they introduced in 2nd, 3rd, and 4th edition. And now with 5th edition, they're kind of revamping the realms yet again and making them more into something that I like, and more like the things of the realms that I do like are kind of coming to the forefront. But there are still some things about them I don't like. But I've used them for a long time. And as you know, if you know anything about the Forgotten Realms, there is a huge amount of material out there for the Forgotten Realms. Just looking at actual D&D game material, you know, all the modules and the box sets and the campaign books and city books and everything thus far that's been released just in the game line for the Forgotten Realms is just an amazing amount of information. And if you're going to go and try and find every bit of information, just game material on Forgotten Realms through the various editions, you would spend a ton of money. And then you start factoring in all the novels that have been written set in the realms and video games and everything else. And it's just, it's overwhelming. And it's too much, I think, for any one person to be familiar with all of that, unless D&D is the only game they play, Forgotten Realms is the only world they live in, and that's all they do with their free time is study the realms. I mean, there's just so much. So, you know, it was kind of a conflict for me as a DM, because I didn't want to, you know, I have a lot of books that I like to read. I didn't want to have to go and try and read every Forgotten Realms book that had ever been read. I didn't want to have to buy all those game books. So the way I decided to do it was I decided I would make the realms my own. And I always told my players that, you know, this is basically a world based on Forgotten Realms. This isn't the canon Forgotten Realms. So don't assume that anything that you know from a Realms novel or a Realms RPG book or whatever is true of my world. It may be, it may not be, and I'm not gonna deal with, you know, a player who knows everything about Thay and is trying to tell me the way things are in Thay. You know, it's like, no, I'm not gonna go read about Thay if I don't want to. I'll just do what I want with it, and you can't sit there and tell me I'm wrong, because it's my world, even though it's based on the Forgotten Realms. So that's what I did, and over, you know, I think a couple decades of running D&D, more and more, I made the realms my own, and I made changes to it, and I kind of focused on certain areas. There are huge swaths of the realms that I've never done anything with. I've never used, I've never run a game there, and I never will. I just focused on one area, kind of made that my campaign world, and that's what I did. So I would love to revisit it. I'd love to talk about the changes that they've made to the realms through the editions, the changes they're making now. I'm just kind of putting that off because I don't feel like I know enough yet to really go into it as much as I would like to. And also, I don't know how many people would really be interested in that. Not only am I focusing on one game, I'm focusing on one particular setting at that point. So let me know. Shoot me an email, gamemastersjourney@gmail.com, either for or against an episode all about the Forgotten Realms, what I think about it and kind of what's going on with it, with the sundering and all that stuff that they're doing now. So when 5th edition came out, I got the DMG and I started reading the DMG, and very early in the Dungeon Master's Guide, in the very beginning, it starts talking about world building, and it's a really great place to start if you're building your first world and you're playing D&D or you have the new DMG. Start there. Start reading at the very beginning of the book. It has a great way of laying out kind of what's in store for you in building your world and what you need to think about and some decisions to make to make your world its own unique place. And it's a really great guide to it. So I was reading that and I was getting kind of excited by it, and I thought I should build my own world. You know, I've always run in my kind of bastardized version of the Forgotten Realms. I've never actually taken the plunge of building my own setting from the ground up from scratch, and maybe I should do that. It'd be fun. So I grabbed a brand new notebook. I always have brand new notebooks laying around because they are very useful to me. Grabbed a brand new notebook and started jotting down ideas, started thinking about creating my own world. So that's what I'm going to share with you through these episodes. What I've come up with, I guess I'm kind of sharing my world I'm creating with you, but the real purpose of this is to kind of show you at least how I am creating this world to maybe help you if you want to create your own, to kind of give you, you know, some ideas of how to go about it, what kind of things to think about. And also for ideas, because, you know, you may hear some of the ideas I have and say, oh, that's kind of cool, I want to use that in my world. Or you might want to take an idea I have and put a different spin on it. Or maybe an idea I have kind of leads you to your own idea. Or maybe you really hate an idea I have, and your vitriolic hate of my idea actually leads you to come up with your own idea in opposition of mine that you really, really like. Any of those things would be really helpful to you as a world builder. And, you know, something I'm learning myself through this process is you just need all the ideas you can get. And the more ideas you can get from the more sources, the more your world is going to seem familiar yet different, which I think, at least for me, is what I'm going for. Like, I don't want a world that is so bizarre and unlike anything you've ever seen before that my players feel like they're not even playing D&D. I don't want that. I don't want to go there. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go there or that that's a bad thing. That's just not what I want to do. But at the same time, I don't want my world to just feel like a reskinned Kryn or a reskinned Abir Toril. You know what I mean? I want it to be its own thing. I want it to be unique. I want players to feel like, you know, this is a unique setting, and this was worth, I want myself to feel like this was worth the amount of work I put into it, that it's different enough that I'm not saying, oh, I should have just used Forgotten Realms, because this isn't really that different. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. That's why I decided to do this. Something is kind of interesting. I'm not even sure if I should share this, but I'm going to. Something that's really interesting about this is I saw some great stuff about the Forgotten Realms and the things that they're doing with the realms, and learned more about the kind of the history of the realms, and started thinking, you know, if you take the realms as a whole, geographically and temporally, you know, the entire history of the realms, it's not something I'm a huge fan of. It's just kind of a big mess, I think. But if I focus in on one kind of area of the realms, say, I don't know, the Sword Coast, and I focus in on a specific time period that I like, maybe after the Sundering, or maybe before second edition, back before they fucked everything up, you know, and I just say, this is my world. My world is this little part of the realms in this particular time period. I could actually end up with a world I really, really like, especially if I gave myself full license to really make it my own. And, you know, probably one of the first things I'd do is I'd get rid of a bunch of deities. And I'll talk about that later. Maybe not this episode. I think that'll be the next episode when I get into deities. And that's something that when I ran into realms before, I never like went all out making it my own. I always kind of reined myself in a little bit because I was like, you know, a lot of people are fans of this world and I want them to at least recognize it when they play D&D with me so that they can say, oh yeah, this is very similar to the realms I'm used to and it's kind of scratching that itch for me. But yet have it be different enough that they can't just assume things or think they know what's going on when I don't want them to know what's going on. So it kind of brought me to this wondering, you know, do I really even want to make my own world? Do I want to go to all this effort when it'd be so much easier to take things that are already created and kind of modify it to suit me? And I still haven't answered that question. There are things about my world that I've created so far that I'm really excited about. And I feel like it would be almost as much work, maybe the same amount of work, to try to fit my ideas into the realms and change the realms so that they fit my ideas than it would be just to create my own thing from scratch. So I don't know. I'd love to hear from you what you think. If any other GMs out there have any thoughts about, you know, creating your own world versus taking a published world and just changing it around to fit. Maybe if you've done both, if you know from your experience, is it a lot more work to do one to the other? Do you end up doing as much work modifying an existing world and you might as well start from scratch? I imagine a lot of it's kind of depends on each individual person. But I'm not sure. So this stuff I'm coming up with, it may end up being my own world or it may end up being a continent or something of the Forgotten Realms that I create that's my own. I don't know. In the end, it doesn't matter. We're just world building at this point. And you can just follow along as I go through this and I struggle with this. And yeah, if you have any thoughts or opinions, I'd love to hear from you. GameMastersJourney@gmail.com. All right, so there are two basic approaches to world building, and it talks about this in the Dungeon Master's Guide. So basically, you can start with like big picture of your world. You can think about, you know, your pantheons and the planet as a whole, what the continents look like, what all the nations are called and who rules them, and all this like really big picture stuff, and then slowly kind of drill down into ultimately the setting of your first adventure and the plot of your first campaign and stuff like that. Or you can do the opposite and you can start small and work out. So maybe you decide my first adventure is going to start in a village. So I'm going to come up with this village. I'm going to come up with what's within a few days travel of this village and really flesh that out, flesh out the NPCs of the village. What's their culture? What are their customs? Things like that. And not really worry a whole lot about what's beyond that. And then I will expand my world as I need to, as the players explore. So if I say, oh, well, there's this huge mountain range to the north, I have no idea what's in the mountains. I have no idea what's on the other side of the mountains until the players decide, hey, we're going to go check out those mountains. And now I have to figure that out. So I'm actually more of a fan of the second method of starting small and going bigger, just because it's a lot less wasted effort, I feel like, because you're more coming up with what you need instead of spending hours and hours coming up with a bunch of stuff you may never use, like coming up with stuff for this continent the PCs are never going to go to. But at the very beginning, I want to start with some big picture stuff, because whatever story I'm telling is taking place in a bigger world than what the PCs are aware of. And I, at least on in some general terms, want to have an idea of what's going on with that bigger world, just so that I can make sure everything fits together really well. So once I have these kind of general big picture ideas, then I'm going to drill down small and go from there. So some things I'm thinking about at this point. What kind of feel do I want the world to have? Do I want it to have a specific feel? Do I want to have like a gritty world where survival is hard, like Dark Sun? Or do I want it to maybe focus on a specific subgenre, like kind of a horror feel like Ravenloft, or maybe give it a steampunk kind of feel? If it's a fantasy world, which that's what we're talking about for our example, is a D&D world, do I want it to be a high magic setting or a low magic setting, somewhere in between? And again, the new DMG goes over a lot of this stuff. So I was reading the DMG, it was asking me these questions, and I started just naturally kind of answering them for myself. So I started off just writing some ideas that I had and thoughts about the world that I want to create. So this is kind of brainstorming at this point. So I probably won't use all of these ideas. It may turn out that some of the ideas actually conflict with each other and I have to, you know, pick some and not others. Maybe they all won't work together. But this is a great way for me to start getting a feel for what I want my world to be like, what kind of thing I want to create, things like that. And the hardest thing as a writer or a creator is that blank page, right? As soon as you start throwing words on that blank page, it gets easier. So the very beginning, I just want words on my page. I just want to put some ideas down, even if later I decide they suck. At least I have something. So that's what I'm going to start with. It's just almost like a random assortment of ideas and thoughts and things I might want to do with my world. So first of all, I'm running Tyranny of Dragons. I'm playing Dungeons and Dragons. So it's only natural, I think, that my first thought was dragons. I love dragons. I think dragons are super cool. I think they're a lot of fun to use as adversaries, as the big bad. I think they're a lot of fun to use as NPCs who work with or against the players, as political powers in the world. I just think any way you can think of to use a dragon, it's going to be cool. I definitely want to have dragons. I don't want there to be a dragon around every corner, but I want them to be present in my world. I want them to be a force to be dealt with. I want them to be active and involved in things that are going on. I may start with the trope that we see so often of, you know, the dragons are asleep, hibernating, tucked away. Nobody ever sees them. And people tell tales of the days when the dragons roam the earth and wreak destruction and everything. So I may start there and then have them become more active as the campaign progresses. Or I may have them on the scene in the very beginning. I haven't decided yet, but I definitely want to use them. I definitely want them to be involved with things that are going on. But I like the idea of coming up with ideas about my world that are going to happen during play. So like this thing with the dragons. Oh, I want the dragons involved. Well, sure, I could have them be involved. Or I could have them not be involved and, you know, have the PCs start out and we play a few sessions and, you know, no one's ever seen a dragon or not for a long time. And then all of a sudden the dragons are back. And then it's like, well, why are they back? What do they want? What are they up to? And then the players get to see the world changing around them, which makes it seem more real and more kind of multidimensional. And another thing I'm thinking about all the time is, you know, the same thing that makes a good story is the same thing that makes a good world for an RPG, and that's conflict. The more conflict you can have, the better. Every conflict you can set up in your world is something that can pull the players in, something that the player characters can get involved with, and it's all good stuff. So I'm also, while I'm coming up with these ideas, I'm keeping my eye out for anything that could be a good conflict. So obviously we can have a conflict here with the dragons, conflict of the dragons, evil dragons against, you know, humans and all the other races, conflicts between the dragons, the good and the evil dragons, or different good or evil dragons being in conflict with one another, things like that. So I'm kind of, you know, now I'm thinking about monsters. I'm like, what are some of my favorite monsters in D&D that I want to be sure and use in my adventures? And I know I'm going to use them in my adventures because I always do, because I love these monsters. So why not build them into the setting and have really good reasons why the players are running across them? So another type of monster I really like other than dragons is demons. I love demons. And I definitely want the PCs to face various demons throughout the campaign. And there are a lot of ways I can do this, right? There's a lot of ways that demons can come onto the stage. There could be portals to other planes that are open and the demons come through. Demons can be summoned by wizards and clerics and stuff like that. So that's something I want to keep in mind. I think I want a relatively low magic setting, at least in the sense that magic isn't commonplace. Another thing I'm not a fan of with the Forgotten Realms is like everybody has magic, everybody does magic, everybody has magic items, there's like magic lights on the streets and all this crap, and it's just, I don't like that. I'd rather have a setting where magic is special and amazing and mysterious. At the same time, I don't want to limit the players, because even more so, I feel in this edition than before, magic is very integral to the game. I mean, now thieves and fighters can have magic without multiclassing. I don't think there's a class in the game that doesn't have some kind of magic or could have some kind of magic. And really, the only one I can think of off the top of my head is the monk. And I think, you know, their key powers are just another type of magic. So I don't want to start saying, oh, you know, you can't be an Eldritch Knight in my world, and you can't be an Arcane Trickster in my world, and I don't allow paladins, and my rangers don't have spells and crap like that. Like, I don't want to do that. I want players to be able to play all the classes that they want and do all the things they want. Just from a flavor perspective, I don't want magic to be everywhere. And that will actually make the player characters even more special, because they're among the few that actually encounter magic and interact with magic and wield magic. Your common everyday peasant has never seen magic before, has never used magic, will never use magic, even to the point that in certain remote areas, people may not even believe in magic because they've never seen it. And in that way, even a first level party comes into town and the wizard starts throwing around prestidigitation. That's amazing stuff. They've never seen anything like that before. And I dig that. So I'm definitely leaning towards having a low magic setting in that sense. However, I'm not going to have low magic in the sense of what the players can do. There's still, you know, all the magic items in the books are still going to exist. They're, you know, going to be able to get high level spells and all that stuff. All the options will be available. It's just non-adventurers don't usually encounter magic. Another idea I have, kind of thinking about races, and I'm probably going to do just a separate episode on the races that I want to use and that I don't want to use and why. But I like the idea of having the races be special. I feel like another thing in Forgotten Realms is that the races are kind of samey in a lot of ways. So one of the ideas I like is that the dwarves do most of the mining in the world. Now, you know, like for instance, humans mine too, obviously, but only the dwarves mine the rare metals, the more rare magical metals. Only the dwarves mine those. They're the only ones that know how to find them or how to get them out of the earth or whatever. And they're the only ones that are able to make the more exotic alloys. So stuff like mithril, adamantine, stuff like that, you know, that all comes from dwarves. Now, other races may use those materials to make things, but the dwarves are the only ones that can actually mine those metals or produce those alloys. And I dig that. I'm probably going to do the thing of having like a time of dragons in the distant past, where way back when, maybe before the other PC races were even on the scene, the dragons ruled the world and they were everywhere. And now there's not as many of them and they're more kind of keep to themselves for whatever reason. But maybe that time will come back, which would be fun. I really would like to do something with mythals because I think they're super cool. And that's something from Forgotten Realms that I love, is I love the idea of mythals. So if you don't know what a mythal is, it's basically a magical field that's created around a place, usually a city. And within that area, like say within that city, there are just certain magical effects that are always present. Like maybe demons can't enter it, or nobody can teleport, or everybody is able to detect magic all the time, or things like that. And then one of the other ideas with mythals is you can make this kind of quasi-magical technology, which are like items that within the mythal function as a regular magic item and can do various things. But if you remove them from the area of the mythal, they're just normal items. So you might have a wand that within the mythal can throw spells, but you leave the mythal and it's just a stick. I'm not sure if I will have these be something like in the Forgotten Realms where it's kind of a thing of the past that's been lost and there aren't many of them or any of them left. I think I will definitely make it like an elven thing. So maybe like the elven cities have mythals and that's the only place they are or something like that. But I think that'd be fun to play with, and it'd be a fun thing for like if there's a wizard in the party, for them to have the potential one day to like learn how those work, and maybe the party can create one around their stronghold or something. It would be pretty cool. Speaking of things like that, I'd love to have an analog in my world of the Empire of Netheril from the Forgotten Realms. They're long gone, and occasionally you find relics left over from them. They commanded these mighty magics that people don't even dream about today. I like the idea of the floating cities. Those are cool too, although obviously a terrible idea. But I like the idea that some ancient civilization in the past used them, and then everybody found out in a cataclysmic way why floating cities are such a bad idea. I also would like to have an organization in my world, something similar to the Pathfinders in Pathfinder. I think that's a really cool idea, and it's a great way to give player characters access to more resources as they get higher level and have it actually make sense. I probably would use the Renown rules in the DMG for this, and let this be an organization that the players can be part of and they can gain reputation with them. Obviously, I'll probably want to call them something other than Pathfinders, maybe like Wayfinders or something like that. I like the idea of having a war among the giants. I was reading about the giants in the Monster Manual and how they have this very strict hierarchy among the different giant kinds. So I thought it would be fun to have like a megalomaniac giant who tries to bring back the glory of the old giant kingdoms and empires and actually kind of breaks this hierarchy in some way and is getting other giants to do so. And so there's kind of this conflict. Again, I'm looking for conflict. So there's conflict between this crazy giant and his followers and other giants who don't like that he's breaking this hierarchy. And then there's conflict, of course, between them and everybody else. I also like the idea of having a green dragon awaken in a forest nearby the area where the player characters start in the campaign. One thing I love with low-level adventures is I love having something evil and way beyond the player character's capability, like in the area. Like something that they're aware of, something they have to kind of deal with, but something that is just way beyond them and they can't eliminate it or deal with it directly. They have to figure out how to cope with it. I really like that, and I really like how it kind of flavors things as the PCs grow in power and eventually they get to the point where they can finally deal with this thing, which is cool. I also like the idea of having an angel as a possible adventure patron. In a future episode, I'm going to start talking about deities and what I'm going to do with deities in my world. And the gods are going to be kind of a big theme of my world. And a great way to bring that in is to have an angel appear to the players fairly early in their careers and send them on quests, basically. And I think that would be a lot of fun. And it'd be a way to tie in low-level characters to like these kind of cosmic things that are going on that normally they wouldn't have any involvement with. Of course, they're going to be like pawns on the chessboard, but it'll be fun. I was having the idea that maybe the monster humanoid races, like your orcs and goblins and things like that, actually came on the scene of the world after humans. And so the older races, like the elves and dwarves and giants and dragons, actually tend to blame humans for all these monsters now. And maybe the humans actually created them with magic, or maybe it's just a coincidence. Who knows? One idea I have that I really like is having an empire, a human empire that is expanding, because, you know, that's what empires do, and conquering everyone in sight. And I like this idea of having the nation that the PCs starting out in the very beginning of the adventure are part of having that being like the next on the list of places that the empire is going to conquer. So in addition to the things going on with the gods, which I'm going to talk about next time, and, you know, giants trying to bring their kingdom back and dragons rising up and killing people left and right and demons coming out of portals killing people left and right and orcs and goblins and all that crap killing people left and right. In addition to all that, there's also this empire coming in that's going to try to conquer everything. And I think that would be fun too. I think I have some really cool conflicts in mind here. I think a lot of these ideas will actually fit together really well. And so far, I haven't really seen anything that sticks out as something that's just not going to work with the other things. So I think I can even do everything. I'm pretty excited about a lot of this stuff. Well, really all of it. So that's kind of where I'm at. Still very big picture stuff, but once we get through all the big picture stuff, then I'm going to focus in on a specific spot. I'm going to just start with an adventure. I'm going to say, okay, I've got a group of level 1 PCs and this is their first adventure. What do I need to make that happen? Probably start out with some kind of village or town as their home base, an area around that, come up with things for them to do in that area, and also start coming up with ways to bring some of these bigger conflicts onto the stage, and then just turn the players loose and just kind of go where they go and develop what they're interested in and just have loads of fun. So that's going to wrap up this episode of Game Master's Journey. Please shoot me an email and give me feedback on the show. Give me feedback on the world building. What do you think about me talking more about the Forgotten Realms? Have you heard enough, or do you want to hear more? You can reach me at gamemastersjourney@gmail.com. Please follow me on Google+. Just search for Lex Starwalker. And please follow me on Twitter @LexStarwalker. Please visit the website, starwalkerstudios.com. There you can find the show notes for this show and links and information and all the stuff I talked about. You can also find a link to our Google+ community. I want to send a special thank you out to Frank Rice for your donation to the show. Thank you very much, sir. I really appreciate it. Listeners like you keep the show going, keep the studio going. So again, if you would like to help support the show, you can become a patron of the show on Patreon at patreon.com/gamemastersjourney. Also, you can just give a one-time donation via the donate button on our website at starwalkerstudios.com, like Frank did. And I really appreciate the support of my listeners. So thank you so much for tuning in and joining me on my journey. And I will see you next week. Until then, game on.
This has been a Starwalker Studios production, your source for quality gaming and hobby podcasts.
This episode's music provided by Cloudwalker, Renfield, Tranceboy, and Ish. Please see the show notes for more details at starwalkerstudios.com/gamemastersjourney.